to quote our RSS feed provider, "Oh, you're uploading a cool episode. Welcome back. Hello and welcome to Nerd Out. This is the show where myself, Sundro, Rob Lloyd and Jen Spears, we catch up and we nerd out about things, but they are not here at the moment because we haven't recorded a new episode in a while. Instead, I'm joined over the power of the internet by two of my friends. We catch up every year. We do the top few movies, top few TV shows. We have a chat about it. It's a lot of fun. It's Reese Parton.
Hello.
And Adam J. Purcell.
Hi there, how you doing?
We usually start off with movies, but we're not doing that this year because it's 2020, you know, it's all about change. We're switching things up. We're starting with TV shows. Also, we haven't watched all the films we wanted to watch, so...
No. Something might have gotten in the way.
Oh, well, like the country being destroyed. Yes. So we are instead doing the TV show list first and then movies probably next week. What did you think of 2019 for TV shows? Apparently it was good. I just didn't watch any of it.
Same.
Yeah, my list is quite short, but...
Yeah.
So much I want to watch and never got around to. So a lot of great stuff I haven't watched, which should be on the list, I'm sure, but... Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. I was looking through my list, and aside from really Star Trek Discovery, everything is under 10 episodes. I really didn't watch any long shows that I should have... because, you know, they're good. Instead, I watched a lot of just short stuff when I had a spare couple nights. So,
yeah,
it's weird like that.
And hundreds of movies, it looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and also so many movies. But so many movies because I'm not watching anything over 10 episodes, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Like, I completely cut out all of the DC shows just...
I do that until December, and now I've been catching up.
Yeah, really? Okay, yeah. The whole 22-episode thing, I think, is dying out. They're all just shrinking down to about 8 or 10 or maybe 13.
Yeah, even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on 13 episodes now for the two last seasons, so...
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably a good thing. Yeah.
They started naturally evolving into that with season... I'm stabbing in the dark here. Season 4.
Oh, the split, like
Yeah, sort of a split, and they started telling two different stories per half season, and that worked really well. That's when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. became the best show on television that year, I think, was season 4.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Before we jump into honourable mentions and, of course, our top list, we do start off with the worst shows that we watched. Are there any bad stuff that you two watched this year?
I just couldn't be bothered if there was, so I can't remember.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, I'd watch one episode and then dropped it.
On the bottom of my list is Carnival Row. Which definitely worst thing I saw in the year, but probably not that bad compared to a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had potential, although it just took so long to get anywhere, you sort of gave up the will to live by halfway through. But I forced my way through it because we were reviewing it for the podcast, so yeah, but it comes at the bottom, I'm afraid, that one, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I heard really mixed things about that. It looks like the monsters look good, though, so that's good, I guess.
Yeah, looks good if somewhat monochrome.
That's actually one of my problems with TV and movies these days, actually, and it's a bit of a tangent into movies, but even one of my favourite movies, Endgame, is so desaturated these days.
Yeah.
Which I find ironic, because TVs are now pushing for the HDR effect, and it's...
Yeah.
You know, a lot more colour and stuff like that. And then films, oh no, we're going to make them basically grey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
HDR, we've got 50 shades of grey now, yeah.
My least favourite is one kind of like you, Reese. I just watched the first episode and then gave up. Mm. But it's not really a TV show, so I don't know if it counts. It's You versus Wild.
Okay.
Which was on Netflix. They took the style... the format of that Black Mirror Choose Your Own Adventure episode.
Oh, yeah, Bandersnatch, what was it?
Yeah, and they turned it into a Bear Grylls survival show.
Okay.
And it was awful. And for some reason, I played the first episode. No, don't watch it. It's for kids. Don't do it. It's bad. Just don't. You versus Wild is bad. But I think the proper worst show I watched is probably that new Ricky Gervais thing. And it wasn't that bad.
Afterlife?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's quite high on my list, actually. Yeah.
All right. Okay, interesting. I didn't mind it. It just happened to come in low on my list. My very short list.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Honourable mentions, then, though. What have we got? If any.
If any.
Honourable mentions can also be stuff you want to watch.
Okay, well, I'll start. What We Do in the Shadows. I want to see that.
I want to see that, too. I haven't watched it.
Yeah, that's I love good, the film, but haven't seen the show. Mm-hmm. And a workmate of mine is just, you know, waxing lyrical about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Words of Gummidge.
Uh-huh.
Another one, I think, just in 2019.
Yep.
Heard great things about it. Not caught it yet.
Oh, I've come up with one. What is it? Not Going Postal. Jesus. Good Omens.
Good Omens.
Oh, you haven't seen Good Omens?
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. No.
Well worth watching.
That's an honourable mention for me. That's in my list, but doesn't quite make my top things.
Really?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. I don't know. I think a lot of shows this year, I thought, just kind of didn't stick the landing. And I think Good Omens is on there mainly based off the budget. Like, The Boys is also on that list, which I really liked, but I think it kind of petered out in the last couple episodes.
Actually, I didn't like the first episode of The Boys, and I can't even be bothered to watch the rest.
Oh, really? Oh.
That's fair. I mean, it's a cynical take on superheroes.
So. It is, but the original comic was, so it is true to the comic. I'll give it that.
Yeah, it's the comic's by the same guy who wrote Preacher as well, so if you're not a big fan of the style of comedy that Preacher is going for, you are not going to like The Boys. So.
Yeah.
There's another honourable mention that I want to watch, Preacher.
I haven't caught that for a while now.
Yeah, I'm a couple seasons behind. Star Trek Discovery is an honourable mention for me. I thought it was good, but long. And just kind of, there was a lot of episodes where I was like, these three episodes could have been one, and that probably would have felt better, but that's Star Trek for you, I guess. That's stuff people have been saying about Star Trek for a while. Also, the Umbrella Academy, mainly just because props to them for turning a very convoluted and almost impossible to make a synopsis for comic book series and actually making it understandable. So good work. But yeah, that was really enjoyable as well. And also, big shout out to a show I didn't expect to like, but I did. Actually, I think I did expect to like it, because Jon Favreau is in control. The Chef show on Netflix.
Oh, I haven't seen
it. It generated a few headlines, but I haven't seen it, yeah.
It's really good. It's Jon Favreau, he's cooking with friends, and it's very fun to watch. All right, I'll just rattle off a couple other honorable mentions, and mainly shows that I think you're probably going to mention in your lists. So I will just say the name and then move on and let you do the talking about it when it gets to your list. Okay. Game of Thrones Season 8. It was fine. iZombie Season 5. It was good, but what was that ending? No, don't do that.
I've not caught that yet. Okay.
Are you sure that doesn't apply to Game of Thrones?
Sure. Why not? I mean...
Was it all a dream? Did she wake up in the shower?
It's more... If you've seen the first finale for Veronica Mars, it's basically the same thing.
Oh, I haven't taken it.
Also, South Park Season 23 was good, and there is a show on Amazon Prime called Undone, which at first I was like, why is this animated? Why is this an animated show just about people doing everyday things? And then you realize why it's animated, because the art style and the various like powers and stuff they show is really cool. So that show, if you want to watch something unlike anything you've seen before, check out Undone, because it's really solid.
Okay.
And number 16 is The Good Place Season 3, because it was good.
And it was a place.
It was a place.
It's definitely dropped a bit of my rankings too, but yeah.
I've only actually started that one. Oh, I can add that to the list.
Yes, do it.
Huge list.
Oh, and also Documentary Now Season 3, which is Bill Hader and Fred Armisen's mockumentary series. It's just a series of really dumb mockumentaries that they make with friends. And the third season was great. I liked the one about performance art, because it was ridiculous.
Because you're into performance art.
The Witcher. I must watch The Witcher as well. I haven't caught that at all yet.
Likewise.
Well, last time we did five at a time and kind of like swipped between each other. Should we do that again?
Why not, Todd?
Yeah.
Swipping, why not? Yes.
Who wants to start off then?
I actually forgot to mention another one for shows I want to watch, and I probably will watch because it's a short season, but it's Dracula, the new version with Moffat and Mark Gatiss.
That's 2020, strictly speaking, but yeah.
Fair enough.
Take out New Year's Day.
Yeah.
It's a nice little tease for next year's end of list episode.
There we go. I saw the first episode of the Watchmen TV series, and I'm very intrigued. And I want to see... the rest of it. It was an intense first episode. I wasn't expecting it, really. I am a little bit lost when it comes to the characters. I think I should have maybe done a bit of research. Yeah. Now, a lot of these shows that I talk about first up are kind of ones that I've only seen the first few episodes of, so they might be really good and deserve to be higher, but I just haven't seen the best bits yet.
Sure.
But number 14 is Fleabag.
Oh,
which is a show, I think it's based on a live comedy show she did, actually, but it's Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Is that her full
Sounds
name?
Sounds right.
Yep.
Yeah, who was in Solo.
Indeed.
But it's also got, what's his name? I'm terrible with names today, guys. I'm very sorry. But Moriarty from Sherlock.
Andrew Scott. Yeah.
Andrew Scott, yeah. It's got him in there, and he's quite funny in this, actually. He's really good.
Yeah.
So I'd recommend that. And then above that, although I kind of mentioned it already as one I want to see more of, is What We Do in the Shadows. I just really like the creative team behind that, so I think that's why I put that higher than the other one, than Fleabag. I'm really shooting through these quickly because I don't have too much to say, but number 12 is Titans, the DC show.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Technically not this year's season.
I put season one on my 2019 list just because, like the Australian release was this year. So
yeah, and so technically I'm behind, but it's something that I tend to keep watching. I've heard some really bad things about season two, sadly.
Oh.
But I'm going to keep with it. I'm going to watch it when I've got the time.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then something that's just incredibly well filmed, directed and acted and stars some of my favourite actors ever is The Crown, and that's at number 11.
Yeah.
And I've kind of reached about five there, I think, so I'll hand over to someone else. Again, I don't have too much to say, but I've only seen the first few episodes of that half of my list, or that third of my list.
Yeah. No, fair enough.
Yeah, I really enjoyed The Crown season one and two. Haven't got to three yet.
I've heard good things from my parents who love that show. So
okay, whole new cast. It'd be interesting how they do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like how they're doing that. That's something I haven't even gotten to the first cast change, but I like that they're doing that, so I want to see how that flows and compare performances and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, Titans was, it's not in my list, but I should have mentioned that as an honourable mention. It's good. It's, you know, elements of it feel a little bit fan filmy, I think. Maybe just because of the violence and...
A bit try-hardy?
Yeah, maybe. So what is your number 15 to 11 then, Adam?
Number 15. One, again, I've only seen maybe two episodes of, is The Orville, season two. I really enjoyed season one. Season two, it felt a bit soap opera-y. I don't know why. But maybe I only saw a couple of weaker episodes. Yeah, it's below STD this year, which wasn't the case before. Yeah, yeah. 14, Titans, season one. Yeah, it definitely has some Torchwood, early Torchwood feel to it.
Yeah.
It's trying to be a bit edgy and adult when comes across to just be a bit immature, but you know,
F Batman.
Yeah, yeah. Not terrible, but yeah, they need to sort out their tone a bit, I think. yeah
Oh, well.
13, Jessica Jones season 3.
Oh.
Yeah, I love Jessica Jones, although I do feel that it has dropped off a bit since season 1, and I really would like a proper conclusion to it.
Didn't it end properly?
It was, you know, a season finale rather than a series finale, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
It did give some closure, but it is a bit annoying. But
that's weird that they did that knowing it was the final season, but then Daredevil handled their season finale like a series finale, not knowing that it would then get cancelled a couple of weeks after. That's weird that
they decided
to do that.
Daredevil's the more superior show. They did that with... I've seen the first two, and I feel like both of them ended so that it could finish the story or continue in a good
that's
way.
True.
I just think it's a superior show.
Maybe. Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah.
Maybe they're less sure about it. I don't know. Yeah.
Mm.
Mm.
I don't know why. I mean, I know they were launching Disney Plus, but I don't know why Disney is so obsessed with being the only ones making money from it. They could have kept making more shows.
That's true. But they've also completely shut down the company that made those shows.
It's true.
And is making Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and like Runaways and everything like that's completely gone after the next season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think Marvel TV division is...
Yeah, it's completely gone. Now it's just Marvel Studios.
Yeah, exactly. It's Marvel Studios so that Kevin Feige can be in charge of it all, which... I like Kevin Feige. He's good, but I hope... I kind of agree with Martin from Bad Wolf, plug, where he says that it could be a bit of a problem to expect people to watch all the shows as well as the movies, because some things just work better on the big screen, and as much as I'm going to like the Marvel shows on Disney+, I think I agree with that. It's pushing too much to make the general public watch what's going on.
And too much for one man, surely, to oversee all of this. I don't know.
I mean, he is a god, but...
Yeah. I don't know how 20th Century Fox will feature into that. Is that throwing a spanner into things? I don't know. But anyway, that's the film.
Well, because pretty much every film that Disney released through Fox this year has flopped. So,
yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen?
I think that's
studio.
A reflection on Fox more so, though.
Oh, yeah. The quality of them was really bad. Well, Jojo Rabbit came out. That's done pretty well. That's Fox Searchlight, so it's a different company, but, okay. That's doing well. So,
yeah. Mm. Good film. But anyway, that's for next time. TV, though, my number 12 is STD, Star Trek Discovery, Season 2.
Nice.
Not Picard.
Season 2, definitely it will step up compared to Season 1, although I think it's a bit further down the list because it's been a stronger year for TV, I think, in general. So it's been bumped down, but actually, really good season.
Okay.
Where they go with it after that finale, I have no idea.
What did you think of Spock?
He's really good. Yeah. He looked really weird without a beard. He should have kept the beard. He looked... I know. But yeah, he was really good at playing that tortured Vulcan. Yeah.
Mm.
Great actor.
Yeah.
Number 11 then, talking of weird looking, Game of Thrones Season 8.
Which one could that be?
There was distinct lack of nudity this season, but apart from that, it was quite a good season.
I know.
I don't know, the scripts were pretty bare bones. Got them. Anyway.
It definitely felt rushed. I would definitely agree it felt rushed. But a lot of people hate on it, but I think it was a fitting ending. I liked who ended up on the throne, what happened to the characters. So yeah, I'm basically happy with how it ended. I would have liked a couple of more episodes to really get us there properly without it feeling a bit suddenly. Yeah. What happened in left field? Yeah, that's my 11 to 15.
Okay. All right, well, I'll kick off with 15, and I just realised that 60% of my top 15 are Netflix shows, so... I mean, they make good stuff. Number 15 goes to Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. It's technically Season 1, Part 2, but we'll just call it Part 2, because originally it was going to be a CW show, but then too violent, so they went to Netflix, but then they still kept the format of a CW show for the first season, so it's a big mess. But
is it a Greg Berlanti show?
No, he is the last listed executive producer, so barely.
Yeah.
I mean, he's being run thin, so.
Oh, yeah, he is doing way too much work. Yeah. But good on him, he is...
oh, God, yeah, he's amazing.
TV's Kevin Feige, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. The Canadian television industry owes him a lot.
Oh, yes. But, yeah, Chilling Adventures Part 2 was good. I'm not sure if it was better than Season 1... it was a little less episodic, which I think I liked, but I also really liked the monster episodes from Season 1, or Part 1, or whatever it's called, who cares. but the Monster of the Week episodes weren't really in Part 2, which I kind of missed, but aside from that, I think character-wise it was really solid. So, number 14, another half season, because they take a long time to come up with their stupid concepts, is Rick and Morty, Season 4, Part 1.
Oh, yeah.
I liked 4 of the 5 episodes, so it's 4 out of 5, which is exactly where this is on my list. It's a 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
I liked how this season, really aside from episode 2, is just them making fun of various movie genres. Like, we got an episode entirely making fun of heists, we got one entirely making fun of, like, Lord of the Rings-styled fantasies, and then the last one, which I think is one of the best episodes they've ever done, making fun of Terminator/time travel movies. Which, one of the best episodes of TV this year. I think it's so ridiculous.
Okay.
I'm interested in part two, whenever it comes out, in 3 years, but really fun.
Do you think they'll show the first episode on Pornhub at first, like they did this season?
Oh, yeah, that was good.
They did.
That was very good. Number 13, one that you mentioned, Adam, The Orville, Season 2.
Yeah.
Higher on my list than STD because, and I think I know why it's lower on yours, the first 3, maybe 4 episodes, you're right, aren't great. They're not fantastic. But after that, it really picks up, I think, after like episode 6 or something. It gets to be the best I think the show's ever been.
Oh, good. Okay.
Which is a shame because then it got cancelled, I think, and now it's back. Maybe?
It's back to a different network or something. Where's it gone? It's moved to a different channel. It
did a Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
But no, I really enjoyed season two
good.
After the first four episodes it really picked. Although I do like the first one because it's all about taking a pee. So that was enjoyable.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like that Being Human episode where George was just trying to pee.
Yeah. The Identity two-parter in particular, brilliant stuff. So, yeah, if you like Next Generation, yeah. I mean, the Orville is pretty spot on, even though the first two, three episodes are a little bit Deep Space Nine-y. So,
and even though it doesn't have Patrick Stewart in it.
No, no. They also got rid of the best cast member, which I don't know where that came from, but she just left out of nowhere.
Yeah, I heard she'd left. I don't know why, but yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I think she's.
I was hoping
it
would be announced she was cast in like a huge film. That would be really cool for her.
Mm. I think she might be a lead in another show. I'm not sure, but anyway, number 12 then goes to the OA Part 2.
Oh, I've heard of that.
I guess it's a sci-fi. It's kind of like a trippy sci-fi show that Netflix put out by Britt Marley. Part 1, I didn't appreciate Part 1 when it came out. And there was like a 3-year gap in between Part 1 and Part 2. So when Part 2 came out, I went, I should rewatch this again with some friends. So I did, and I appreciated it way more. Maybe because I'm more into this style of storytelling than I was when it came out, but I'm not sure. But Part 2 was really cool. It unfortunately got cancelled, and it ends on a cliffhanger. So, you know, you kind of got to weigh up whether or not it's worth it. But I think it is, because there's some really cool acting and some very interesting sci-fi concepts mixed in there. Yeah, if you're a fan of the show I'm about to mention as number 11 and also stuff like Black Mirror, I think the OA is right up your alley. But number 11 goes to Legion Season 3, the third and final season of the almost X-Men-ish show from Noah Hawley. Really glad that this got a proper ending because so many shows this year have just been cancelled. Like number 12. I really enjoyed season 3. I'm not sure if it's better than the last two seasons. I think season 1 is
amazing.
Incredible. It's essentially perfect. Season 2 is a little long, but it's still really good. This one returns to 8 episodes. Tells a very straightforward narrative, but it's
Wait, for Legion?
Straightforward for Legion. it's really good, kind of Doctor Who-y in times. They introduce these, like, time demons that, like, move to the click of the clock. It's very cool and very weird. So that they only, like, move once per second, so it's kind of like you're watching... Yeah.
Oh, I bet you Moffat wishes he came up with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really solid, very creepy, and this season was good. The ending, I'm still processing.
Okay.
I can't wait to catch up on that, actually. I've seen season one.
I've not seen any of that. I have to, yeah.
Oh, I recommend it. It is really trippy. Actually, I found it really hard to follow, but in the best way possible. It just, it's presented so beautifully. The direction is artistic and creative, and you don't care that sometimes you go, hang on, what's happening right now? I can't keep track.
But then,
it just, it works really well, and the casts are brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I found the, like I said, I've only seen season one, but the villain in that was really eerie and spooky and gross.
Music in particular as well for the villain as well.
Yeah.
Just gets under your skin. Yeah.
Really good stuff.
Yes. Highly, highly recommend if you're a fan of like Moffat's era of Who, but want something a little bit more adult, more trippy. It's kind of like if Moffat did Torchwood, maybe.
Okay.
Actually, I think that's a perfect way to talk about it, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my number 11. So, top 10s, here we go.
So, I mentioned him before. It's basically the Greg Berlanti-verse. or the Arrowverse, more accurately. Mm-hmm. No particular order. And I am actually behind on a season of all of them. So, technically, season 5 of Flash is airing now, isn't it? But I'm talking about season 4. But anyway, I saw season 4 last year and I really liked it of The Flash. I'm catching up with season 3. There are just too many of them. Anyway, season 3 of Legends of Tomorrow, which I was actually having a talk with Adam then because, listeners, you don't know, but Sandra disappeared for about half an hour, it felt like.
You did. You'd have to have a bath.
Yes. And I was saying that Legends of Tomorrow takes advantage of the time travel concept that it's very similar to Doctor Who in a way, but it goes more ridiculous than Doctor Who. And, but it's perfectly done. I love it. I'm loving some of the characters too. And actually, there's one episode, I've forgotten what it's called.
Jeff.
Not quite. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's an episode called Jeff at some point.
Is that the guest starring John Noble episode?
Oh, no, but that was great as well. And it does just... Guest star John Noble. Oh, but yeah. No, it's Here I Go Again, which starts off as a funny kind of ABBA tie-in, because that's one of their songs.
That was good.
But it's got a time loop in it, and I wasn't keen on the character who's affected the most in this episode at the start of it, but by the end of it, I just felt so sorry for her, and she was cemented as part of the team. I think that's what it was. This show changes the roster a lot, and she was the latest character.
So you're not up to when Constantine gets introduced then, right?
Yeah, I am, actually. He's
okay,
been
perfect.
In
cool.
two episodes so far.
Cool, all right. Yeah,
and awesome. He references Doctor Who.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is a brilliant thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no particular order. I've talked about Flash. That was really good. The one with DeVoe, or The Thinker, is his kind of villain name. That was really well done. Although, I've got a bit of a problem, and it's just because I'm behind. I started watching that season and season 7 of Arrow at the same time. Slight spoilers, but the main characters both end up in jail for a bit. And
okay, yeah. Bit samey.
It was a bit samey, but they were a year apart when they were originally broadcast, so it wasn't as on the nose for other people. But for me, I kind of just... That's when I took a break until this recent December, and I caught up.
Nice.
Speaking of Arrow, it's really found its feet again with season 7. And I was worried about the jail stuff. I was more interested in the Flash at that point because Arrow gets so desperately melodramatic. And yeah. It says the dark lines for the sake of it sometimes. Season 4, I'm looking at you.
don't mention that season.
I know. And I was worried that because he was going to jail and things were very desperate for him, that he'd end up being that kind of over-the-top, depressed, dour kind of character. Supergirl, I actually haven't seen the latest ones. I'm kind of going through, depending on how far behind I am on them, so to speak, so I'm trying to be on track with all of them, but I will start to catch up with the Supergirl. I do love Supergirl. And then moving away from that, Game of Thrones at, number 6. So basically all the other shows, no particular order, just the Arrowverse, and then I get to number 6, which is Game of Thrones. Not much more could be said about it. I really didn't mind it. I think I don't know why they cut down the number of episodes.
Because they got a Star Wars deal, and then they lost the Star Wars deal because they cut it down.
Well, I don't know why they didn't just commit to what was the biggest show in the world at the time and just say, hey, Star Wars, you can wait for us. And HBO would have backed them up on that one.
Yeah, definitely. They would have waited too.
Yeah, I like the first 3 episodes.
Yep.
4 and 5 were really bad. Screw it, I'm going to be slightly spoilerific. I really think they ruined Jaime Lannister's progression over the past 4 seasons, and he really should have... that's my biggest problem with all of it. The rest of it, I could kind of live with. Oh, maybe I didn't like how quickly one of the dragons was killed. It was almost off-screen, almost just out of shot that it happened, which I also found annoying. But the rest of it, like the final episode, I quite like. Could have been better. But it also could have been far worse in my mind.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So that's my next chunk done.
Chunk 2, then. From number 10 is, you probably never even heard this, Great British Car Journeys. Pete Davidson.
Oh.
And his old All Creatures Great and Small chum, Christopher Timothy, sorry. Who just drive around Britain in an old vintage car.
Wow.
Just using an old-fashioned map, keeping off motorways as if they were doing, 1950s car journeys. And it's surprisingly charming and good fun. And
Nice.
Two old buffers just... Davison's always great fun. And it inspired me in many ways to do the same sometime, although I don't know when I find the time. But I think it's done very well for them. And I remember Davison talking about it back in January when we saw him at... Space Centre. He was quite excited about it, and I can see why.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to check that out. That sounds
fun. Great British Car Journeys. Number 9, another British show which you may or may not know, Endeavour, Series 6, I think, in this case, which is the prequel to Inspector Morse, really.
Yeah.
It's set in the late 60s, I think, at this point, or was it early 70s? somewhere around that period. And I always like to Inspector Morse, and having it set in this period adds something extra to it as well. Really great stuff. It's just sad that's coming to an end. I think it's only got one season left, because they refused to do more episodes than they did for Morse. So they've got a finite length in mind.
That's a bit odd, really.
Yeah, it's something about honouring the original Inspector Morse, which only had 31 episodes, I think. So they won't go beyond that.
Okay. Yeah. Although I do respect that sort of creative decision. If it's kind of something that people choose to do, then I'm much more behind it.
Yeah.
Then, you know, bloody Disney cancelling shows with not. You know, if it's creative choice, I support that. That's nice.
And it does mean that they get to build the character up to what you know in the modern day or 20 odd years ago, whatever. So you can see the progression of the character, and they can plan that properly over the entire series, which is good. Number 7 then, The Umbrella Academy, Season 1.
Hey.
Yeah. I had no idea what to expect. I've never read comics.
Don't.
No, well, maybe not. Maybe they've done a better version on TV, which would be weird, but maybe they have. I really enjoyed that. It definitely a bit weird in places, and I'm not quite sure where they're going with it after that. Clearly it does continue.
Yeah, I think season 2 is soon. Yeah, a couple months away, maybe.
The ape man hybrid, whatever he became, up on the moon for some reason, and what the hell is that all about? There is a plot reason for him to be sent away, but it just feels really weird despite all the weird comic booky stuff. I really enjoyed it. Number 6, I don't know if this counts, but it had one episode. Doctor Who.
Yeah, it counts.
It counts.
Okay, it's just one feature-ish length, 60-odd minutes, was it? But most people seem to think it's the best of last season. Ooh. And I don't know if I quite agree with that, but I thought it was a great special, and could see the Doctor finally meeting the Daleks. Doesn't feel like the Doctor's the Doctor until they meet the Daleks.
I enjoyed the score for it, actually, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, we had kind of like a Doctor Who discussion when Sandro disappeared.
Whoops.
But the composer, Sagan Akinola, introduced a great like action theme to that episode. And it came back a year later in the newest episode.
Exactly a year later.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I think that might be my favourite Chibnall episode, like my favourite one he's written. Although I guess he does have a co-writing credit for Rosa, but that was more the other writer, I think, than...
Yes, it was. Him. Yeah, I think so.
I thoroughly enjoyed The Woman Who Fell to Earth.
That's a good one.
I think it's probably my favourite of his. But we'll see what he does this coming season.
Oh, yeah. He's got a plan, which I like.
That's my 10 to 6,
All right, then. I'll go to number 10, show a lot of people are talking about, show I was really excited for, but also very worried, because it's a video game adaptation. But it's also a book adaptation.
Yep.
And so I was like, is this going to be good? I don't know. Turns out it's great. The Witcher Season 1 was surprisingly just fantastic. It's so good. Sure, the timeline doesn't make sense until the final episode, but Westworld exists.
Yeah, it does.
It's really good. The characterizations are fantastic all across. Henry Cavill really nails playing an emotionless, monotone character. Who'd have thought?
Does he have a weird upper lip?
No, this time there's no weird... I mean, his makeup is kind of out there, but that's probably as far as it goes. But the thing about The Witcher, not necessarily the games, but the books, is the female characters are incredible, and they nailed that so well in season 1. Yennefer is great, Ciri is great, just characterizations, the performances in general. Fantastic. I'm really excited to see where season 2 goes, because season 1's kind of a prequel, because it's based off the first two books, which are just short story collections that lead up to the proper saga, so we'll see what happens with season 2. But I'm really excited. It's really good. The budget is high, so and also mainly practical effects for the monsters, which I always appreciate. I didn't love Dark Crystal, but I love puppets and practical stuff, so it was good to see more of that this year. Number 9 and number 8, really, they're both two shows that I thought I would hate, but I loved them, so that's fun. Number 9 might be the best sitcom I've seen since Community, maybe, or the first few seasons of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's a show called Schitt's Creek, season 5. So it's a couple millionaires, it's a family, it's a family of very rich millionaires. They are the richest of the rich, and they love rich things, and they've got a rich house, but they make some poor investment choices and they lose all their money and they're kicked out of their house. And instead, they have to move to a town called Schitt's Creek, which they bought as a joke because the name's funny. It's just these...
Wait, did they buy the town or a house there?
the whole town.
Oh,
they bought
the
whole town.
How does that work?
Yeah, they bought it for their son because they said the name and the son laughed and went, can we buy that? And they went, yeah, okay.
Why not?
And so they are forced to move there. And it starts off, because I saw all 5 seasons this year just because it just popped up. By season 5, it's still very funny, but it's also kind of charming as well. Aww. And it's got some really cool characters. And Dan Levy in particular, Eugene Levy's son, they both write and they own the show. The whole family's in it as well. Number 8, another show I wasn't expecting, but I came across it on Netflix when nothing else was out, and I thought, sure, I'll watch it, is Sex Education.
All right.
Yeah, coming-of-age show with Gillian Anderson. She's in it, and she's really good. Oh. Also, the kid from Ender's Game, Asa Butterfield, his name is.
Yep.
He's in it, and he's fantastic. It's just a really, really funny, coming-of-age show, which, you know, is rare, because a lot of them fall into all of the genre trappings, but this one avoids them all. And I'd highly recommend it, even if you aren't a fan of that style usually. This is one of the rare good ones. And it's not like Riverdale in that it's so bad it's good. It's genuinely good. So, we'll check that out. Some really good performances in there. Number 7, another Netflix. In fact, these are all Netflix ones, this 5.
You shill.
Yes, I am paid by Netflix. That's why I said good things about Iron Fist last year. but number 7 is season 7, and also the final season of Orange is the New Black.
Oh, I've never caught any of that.
Think I caught up on it in time for season 6 to be in my list last year. And they wrapped it up with season 7. It's a really good ending. One of the better season finales this year, I think, next to Legion. They wrapped it up all really well, and you know, it's not necessarily a happy ending because pretty much all the characters are still in prison, but you know, not a spoiler, it's set there. Really, really good stuff. It continues to have some of the best characters and performances of the year. And then number 6 goes to Black Mirror, whatever season came out at the start of the year. Was it 4 or 5?
5, I think.
5, yeah, I think.
Cool,
so.
Yes. Yeah. The 3-episode season, which I really loved.
I've not caught it, yeah.
I've only ever seen seasons 1 and 2, actually. Jeez, I'm behind.
I was up to date to 4, then Bandersnatch came out, and I couldn't play it on my TV. It wanted, because it's interactive or something. I never got beyond that point, so I must get back to it at some point.
But season 5, yeah, really good. Kind of different. That's what I like about season 5, is it's still technology-based, but more characters, I think. The two American seasons have been quite concept heavy, whereas this one's more performance based, I think, which works really well. And the Miley Cyrus episode is very tame, which is weird for Black Mirror. I liked it. Those are my second chunk. What's your first or third chunk, Reese?
It's getting messy in here. Alrighty, number 5 is much higher than on your list, but I've got Star Trek Discovery. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was actually one of those ones that I tried to keep up week to week, but as it turns out, I kind of fell a week behind, so I'd watch one and then the new one would be out as soon as I was done with that one. I almost timed it that way, and it was kind of like half marathoning it in a way, and that kind of, I think it benefits from that. Some shows really benefit from that, but I thought the scale and ambition of Star Trek Discovery was fantastic in season 2, and I think they could do even more in season 3. I won't mention what happened, but I think that the events at the end of the episode is a great way to explain away a lot of problems that I've had with the show from the beginning.
Yeah,
and
yes,
give them a lot of potential going forward.
Was a nice way of, oh, this is all now sealed. Nobody's allowed to know about this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Aren't they working on a spin-off as well? Section 31 or whatever it is, they're working on a spin-off for
them
as well.
There was talk of it. I don't know if it's actually happening or not, yeah.
But they were a really cool part in season
two. Yeah. Also, they've had problems with Netflix not picking up Picard. So maybe that's, maybe that's pushed back. Section 31, I don't know. But
potentially. Yeah, well.
Now, the following ones, I can't decide which order they're going in, so I'll just mention them in this order, but I think they are all very, very good shows.
Right.
Which season was it? I think it was season 3 of Glow.
Oh, yes. I'll just get back to that. Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. All of the actors are on top of their game. The characters, it's amazing how well you know them by now and you care for them so much. And it's a lovely show. And in a funny way, it's lovely. It also had some guest appearances by some of Marc Maron's comedy friends, which I really liked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next up, we have one that I know you two haven't seen, but number 3 is Years and Years from the pen of Russell T. Davies.
Yeah. I should have watched that. I haven't got around to it. Yeah. I've heard great things.
It is incredible. It's scary. In fact, some of what happened in it kind of predicted what happened in real life. It is slightly set in the future, just slightly. Actually, the further into the season you go, it jumps forward a few more years.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like a blueprint of what's sadly probably going to happen in the UK.
Yeah, yeah. Rather dark one, I gather, but yes.
Very dark, very dark, very well acted, filled with Doctor Who faces.
As you'd expect.
as you'd expect. Russell Tovey has got to be in everything that Russell T. Davies does.
Yeah.
They've got the same name. What else could you expect?
Well, of course. But the cast are on point. I loved every bit of it. I think it was really well shot. Gave Murray Gold a chance to give us some really powerful music, as he often does. Murray Gold did the music for it. I don't want to spoil it, but intense stuff, feels very possible that it could happen, which I think is where the power of it comes from. Really good observations on society. He is so good at like the human level of scenarios. This show is kind of about that. It's about how people respond to huge world-changing events like certain bushfires or whatever. Next up we have Stranger Things, and that's not just Stranger Things 3 for me. I watched all of Stranger Things for the first time last year. Bloody amazing show. Love it. Charming, beautifully shot. The budget of Netflix shows is just wonderful. I know we shouldn't, and I always say this when you're watching stuff like old Doctor Who, for example, you say the budget doesn't matter as long as the story is good, but when the budget's there, it's a beautiful bonus, and this show just looks great because of it. But it's also got an amazing tone to it. I really liked it. In season 3, I actually think in many ways was my favourite. There are some things I wouldn't have done, some things that came out of the blue, but I really liked it. And what's his name? Date Montgomery? Really good.
Oh. Yeah, fantastic.
Hated the hairstyle, but liked the performance.
Exactly. At least it's not like Hawkeye's Endgame haircut. That's fine. As long as it's not that.
Good point. And then number 1, and I'm not surprised this show hasn't been mentioned yet, and again, not necessarily in this order, these last 4 have just been brilliant, but I've got to put The Mandalorian.
I thought you were going to put the Cats TV show at number 1. Oh, no.
Wait, there's a Cats TV show?
There should be.
Where'd you disappear? Did you go off and smoke something?
No, I just watched Cats again.
You watched all the good bits, which is why you were gone for 10 minutes. number 1 is The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
There's just so much good stuff that could be said about it. I won't try and drain it all, but I think Jon Favreau, as he's referred to on Adam's podcast, I think he's just an excellent storyteller. Both through visuals and with the scripts that he's written. I think he wrote pretty much all of them, except for a few by Dave Filoni. Dave Filoni, incredible work with the animated Star Wars stuff. And this was his first live-action project, and he did a beautiful job.
Yeah.
And Taika Waititi as well. They're all fantastic. I think the directors, at the top of their game. Yeah, I loved it all. And I think it kind of... I've been talking with a friend at work, and Star Wars on the big screen needs either Jon Favreau mm-hmm. or Dave Filoni or a Kevin Feige. Saying that Kathleen Kennedy can't do that, but she wasn't hired to do that.
No, and, she's not a creative.
No. And the story for The Mandalorian was so much more direct and connected than the trilogy that they've done. I've enjoyed the trilogy, I want to say that much, but you can't deny that...
Yeah, they had no game plan.
Yeah, very clearly.
Maybe they need one of these two to kind of direct the next... Well, not direct, but kind of
Rumour has it. Rumour has it they might well be taking over, yeah.
They might be.
Yeah, well, Jon Favreau is... I mean, he's a big favourite over at the live-action remake side of Disney. I mean, he's done The Jungle Book and Lion King, two of their biggest ones, so...
Yeah.
They easily could take over.
Mm. I'm actually confused. Is Rian Johnson even still writing a trilogy?
Nobody knows.
No one knows.
Not officially said he isn't, but the general feeling is he isn't.
Mandalorian just succeeded in many levels.
Yeah.
The one issue I've got, it's very minor, because most of the music I like, but I'm not a fan of the kind of more modern kind of drum beats that are occasionally in there. Just doesn't fit for Star Wars for me, but it's very very much a Ludwig Göransson style. He uses it a lot. But other than that, the theme's amazing. Yeah. The character's theme is amazing. That kind of... Western, good, the bad, the ugly, kind of. That's really good. I'm very specific with my Star Wars music because it's the music of my childhood, and John Williams brought back a very classic kind of feel to his scores, and that's what I associate with Star Wars. But other than that, most of the music has been really good.
That one song that played during episode 2, during the creature fight, is one of the weirdest things I think I've heard in music all year. It was very strange.
Yeah, basically, Mandalorian, good stuff.
Yeah, very.
Yes.
Okay, then. Shall I go for my my third and final chunk of the day?
Yeah. Oh, yes. So, give us your chunk.
For number 5, I push out Afterlife.
Oh. Don't push out.
Ricky Gervais' comedy. Clearly, other people have other opinions on this one, but I've always been a fan of Ricky Gervais, so maybe that's coloured my view of this a bit, push it so high up. But I really liked... It's a really dark subject matter of his wife has died. He's just doesn't care about anything anymore. His life, from his point of view, is effectively over. He's just going through the motions. Deliberately antagonising people just to get some kind of rise out of people. But actually...
So it's just Ricky Gervais then?
Yeah, it's sort of the perfect vehicle for him, it would seem. But actually, it's got a lot of heart to it, and he does change as a character. He becomes a much more empathic character and sort of regains his humanity, in a way, throughout this first season. And I really liked it. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was really quite affecting as well at times. So, yeah. At number 4 then, Stranger Things, Season 3. I don't think it's my favourite series of Stranger Things, but I really did enjoy it nonetheless. It felt like maybe they could have made it a bit longer and put a bit more into it. It's quite a simple story this season. Maybe could have done with a bit more. But presumably they chose to cut it down a bit. I don't know.
I think that might be it. I was thinking it was actually... a bit long, but maybe it's because it was thin on the bones compared to the previous two.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think that might be it.
Yeah. But nonetheless, all is great. Incredible ending. I don't quite know where they're going to go after this. I think certain characters who appear to be dead aren't.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, interesting where they go from here. And that comedy routine almost with the never-ending story song was absolutely priceless. It's all worth it just for that.
Hopper's reaction.
The reaction
is my favourite thing.
And Joyce's reaction is facing against the wall.
Good. Oh, speaking of which, I love Winona Ryder. She's amazing.
She's really good in this.
Yeah.
All of them really good. The kids are still great.
I just Finn Wolfhard. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think he's as good as he used to be. But maybe that's just because I've seen him in other things.
Where he plays the same character.
Yeah, he always just kind of plays the same. But, like, he's good.
It's tricky with kids, because if they're good, they'll get typecast in that one role and they don't get the chance to expand as an actor.
Oh, he was pretty different in It, though, as the comedian guy that then turns into Bill Hader. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Turns into the other comedian guy.
Yeah. And number three then, The Boys, season one.
The Boys?
The Boys. yeah.
God.
Really enjoyed this.
The Boys.
Boys. Boys, boys. Yeah. Great fun. Such irreverent dark humour to it. They're never afraid to go to that place beyond where anybody else would dare go. So wonderful scenes like was it Aquaman, whatever his name is, breaking out the dolphin, and then the dolphin in slow motion, going through the windscreen, just hilarious stuff.
Yeah, that was good.
And it wasn't just comedy either. They really did touch some really dark subjects in there, and I was quite a big fan of the original comics, which I read a few years back, and although it's not in any way identical to the comics storyline, it's quite similar, and they definitely take the tone of it. The whole idea of subverting superheroes. What would superheroes be like in real life? And complete dicks, because they're ultimate power, ultimate corruption and all that. Really enjoyed that. It's a nice tonic to Marvel and DC. DC tried to do the dark thing, but I think they fail. Marvel tried to go on the lighter side, and they do really well with that. But we do need a darker version which works. And this does for me. Number two, then. Good Omens.
Ooh.
Again, I think some people think not quite as good as me, but I really loved it. Terry Pratchett, okay, this is Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman, but Terry Pratchett adaptations for TV generally have been a bit lackluster, particularly the Sky ones they've done in Discworld. The third one was quite good, but the first two weren't great. But here, Neil Gaiman promised Terry Pratchett he would get it done. And he put his all into it, I think. And it's a faithful adaptation. It's done with real heart. And the casting was perfect.
Definitely.
I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great adaptation. Possibly, for me, one of the greatest adaptations of comics we've had on TV, full stop. Or books, as in this case. But
Can't wait to see it now.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell the BBC are playing at. They co-funded this thing. It was on Amazon Prime about 8 months ago, something like that.
It's out on Blu-ray now.
Yeah, and only a week or two is it finally out on BBC TV. I have no idea why.
Yeah.
So what the hell happened there? And they buried it on BBC Two, which is the the lesser of the two main BBC channels. My number one, then, as I've mentioned it so far, you can probably guess what it is. The Mandalorian. What more can I say about it? But this is the Star Wars I wanted as a kid, really. Jon Favreau said that it felt like getting his toys out of the box and playing with them. And this is exactly what it feels like. I can, back in the late 70s, early 80s, I was there with my little Palitoy or Kenner action figures, Star Wars action figures, and this sort of thing I was doing. And it feels so absolutely perfect. The whole Western aesthetic and feel to the show just suits Star Wars perfectly. I love the fact that they don't feel the need to tie all the Skywalker stuff into this directly. You can imagine it's all out there. Yeah. But the universe, or the galaxy, if you prefer, is big enough that you can have lots of different stories which don't intersect directly. But it's still Star Wars.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. I really look forward to season two. And Kenobi and Cassian Andor. And if they continue like this, then I think Star Wars got a better future on TV than it ever did at the cinema.
But I just feel Star Wars belongs on the big screen compared to the small one. That's just me.
In a way, yes, because you have the spectacle of the big screen. You have the major epic events, but really, I want to see the longer game, the serialized story. You just don't have time on the big screen to do that. And when they do try to do it, they screw it up by not planning. So,
well,
obviously, we can't get Disney Plus in the UK yet, so it's all hearsay from my point of view. But the whole idea of, at least until we get it in the UK, we should get it in one go, presumably, the fact they're putting out an episode a week. Actually, in this case, I think benefited the series.
I agree. I prefer that. Definitely. I prefer that too, all at once.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes, maybe it depends on the series, but something like this where it is such a talking point. And the reveal at the end of episode one, for example, if that had all just been dumped in one go, people would have watched it at different times. And
you don't get those moments. You don't. Of, yeah.
So, yeah, I think it really benefited from being weekly like that.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, I'll kick off my top chunk then with also The Mandalorian, number five.
Number five?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Not number one. It's
In that case, take number one off. You're not allowed to have the Cats TV show because it doesn't exist.
Oh, no.
Not a real thing.
It doesn't exist. Fine, I'll replace it with the animated Fast and Furious TV show that just came out.
What?
Which is real. Check it out. It's garbage.
Is it?
Wow.
Oh, God.
But The Mandalorian, I really enjoyed it. It's number five because these five, I think, are all pretty much tied. And the reason, you know, Mandalorian is slightly below is because there was one episode that I didn't love, or perhaps I didn't like, really. I thought episode five was kind of nothing, which is a shame because that was Dave Filoni's solo show, and I've been gunning for him with everything he's done. I love Clone Wars. Rebels is really good as well. So I was like, yes, he's getting his own episode. And weirdly, I don't know, it was just my least favorite one.
That's the Desert Planets one, yeah?
Yeah,
with Ming-Na Wen, who was good, and then the other character who I thought was potentially the worst Star Wars performance we've ever seen. but yeah, just everything about this show was solid. I love... I think I'd have to disagree with you on the music, Reese, maybe.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I liked all of it, except for there were a few moments where it just sounded like it was done on a computer with a arpeggiator or whatever. It is just kind of like a really weird kind of drum beat.
But yeah, I think out of all of the various Star Wars, like non-John Williams Star Wars soundtracks, this is the only one that I can remember the theme for, you know, which is always a plus. So yeah,
well, there wasn't a theme for Rogue One. They literally just threw the title up.
Oh no, there wasn't, was there? Was there a theme for Solo?
They used the character's theme when the logo appeared, but that was basically it.
There we go. There isn't really anything. Well, there is a theme for Clone Wars, kind of, but I can't remember it. So there we go.
Well, it's basically just a remix of the Star Wars theme.
Oh, yes, that's right. And then the narrator going, "War across the world."
Yes.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. All aside from episode five, I thought this was fantastic. And the finale is hilarious. And Taika Waititi, just give him his own film. Just give him a film. Just give him one. It's just fantastic. And a certain young character, who isn't that young, but, you know, is young, was genius.
Yeah.
Absolute genius. Whoever came up with it. And I can't remember which... I think it was Werner Herzog who was like, you better not make that character CGI.
So
good on him as well for...
Oh, really? Okay.
Pushing for more practical stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's number five.
Yep.
Puppetry is a complicated profession.
Number four for me is Stranger Things 3.
Yep.
I think it is my favourite. I really like season one, but I think as far as having all the characters in the show, you know, that's obviously true. One character was missing in season one. It was really cool to have them all there. Sure, they're separate for a lot of it, but they're in their own kind of groups, which weren't the same groups they were in Stranger Things 2. So I think it just worked out really well. Creature design was immaculate, and just that mall looks incredible. they built a mall. Why not? With that budget, you may as well. Yeah, the finale, not the finale itself, but the final few moments do set up something that I don't know if I like, but... Maybe it's a good decision.
Well, I don't even know what they set up, to be honest.
Kind of. I'll cut it out, but like...
Yeah.
No, I agree with that, actually, a lot.
But yeah, no, I really enjoyed Stranger Things 3. And one thing I will say is check out Steve... I can't remember the actor's name, but the guy who plays Steve Harrington, he's got a solo music project, and it's excellent, and you should listen to it.
Oh, I really like him. He's good.
It's fantastic. Yeah, no, he's really talented. Number three, I finished watching this last night, and as soon as I finished it, I went, that's one of the best things I've seen this year. Goes to Barry Season 2, which is Bill Hader's show on HBO.
I
want to
see that,
Pretty sure I mentioned Season 1 last year, but Season 2 takes that and just runs with it, and it's so much better. It's surprisingly dark. Like, there's some stuff in here dealing with domestic abuse, that sort of stuff. Ooh. And also, the big question for Barry's character this season is, am I evil? Which...
Didn't we have that with Capaldi?
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. I was like, hey, it's Capaldi, but very dark, not slightly dark. Incredible stuff. This is one episode. I don't want to say what the episode number is, because then you're going to look forward to it and won't be surprised when it hits. But there's an episode that Bill Hader directs, and it's without a doubt the funniest action sequence spread out over half an hour that I've ever seen. It's so ridiculous.
Must catch us.
It kind of turns into, like, not a horror, but characters are, like, walking up walls, and you're like, what is going on? It's so weird, and they never explain it. But, yeah, no, just incredible stuff. And the way it ends as well, because it, like, the first time you see Barry is him walking out of darkness, and then it ends with him walking back into darkness, and I'm like, oh, that's cool.
I love that sort of thing.
So yeah, just everything about it. It's also absolutely hilarious. The main gangster guy who was played by he plays Zaz in Gotham. Oh, he's also in The Flash as well as Viper. Yeah, he is so funny. I never knew he could do comedy until I saw this. He is so hilarious.
He's great.
So yeah, I just love Bill Hader in general. So I'll watch anything he does, and this is one of the best things he's ever done. So. Highly recommend that. Moving on to number two, you mentioned it as well, Reese Glow, season 3. Yeah. It's just excellent. All the characters are great. I think it's my favourite season, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, it's really good. Just watch Glow.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. Just watch Glow.
To resub to Netflix.
Number one goes to Watchmen, season 1.
I've not caught that yet. Must catch it.
It's immaculate. It's the best TV can be. Made by Damon Lindelof, who did The Leftovers, another HBO show that I'm a massive fan of, not just because the third season shot in Melbourne, but also because it's really good.
What was it?
Watchmen, like, I'm a massive fan of the comic. The film's pretty good as well. I like what Zack Snyder did for the most part for that film.
Yeah.
Particularly the 3.5 hour long cut, which is way too long, but it's good. I don't want to say which characters return, but they're all good. The ones that return are fantastic. There's some really cool twists in there. The new characters are great. I love Looking Glass. The character of Looking Glass, he's got like this mirror mask and he interrogates you with it. It's a new updated take on Rorschach. Also, the fact that white supremacists use the Rorschach mask, a little on the nose considering what Alan Moore originally intended that character to be, but really good writing all around. I could talk about like Watchmen for an hour. I think it's one of the best shows. I mean, it's the best show of the year, in my opinion, and just one of the best shows in recent memory, especially from HBO. Although, if you are going to watch it, maybe read the book, because it's a sequel to the book and not a sequel to the movie, and there's quite a few differences.
Yeah.
The main one being that the costumes aren't very cool in the comics, and so they're not very cool in the show.
Okay.
And I like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Zack Snyder kind of made the costumes look very stylized, whereas they're really just guys wearing pajamas.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
or white clothes.
Yeah. That is our top shows of the year. Good year for TV. Was it a good year for films, though? Wow. You'll have to.
I think it was a better year for films than TV, personally.
Interesting. We all have very different opinions on what the year was for films.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we do, actually,
Like, dramatically different as well.
Yes. If you look at a post on the Nerd Out Facebook page, you'll see what we're talking about. A tease of it.
And we will debate that next week when we do our top 20 films, or however many you've got. We're doing top 20 because there were heaps of films I wanted to mention, and then Adam went, oh, I did love this year, and I went, oh, no.
And I was so pretty proud of how I was doing with how many I saw, and I'm like, oh, he didn't like this year, damn it.
But yeah, no, we will see. It's going to be a very fun discussion. Will Cats get mentioned? Definitely. Worst film of the decade. So yes, until next week where we do count down our favourite movies of the year, make sure you are nerding out and we will see you then. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Are you? Right.